it is not fleshly, it is in the spirit. Amen. So whatever you feel God has laid upon your heart that's going to offend someone, or maybe someone is not, you know, we're all matured Christians, but sometimes we don't want to hear exactly what the Lord has to say. And she said, it's spiritual, and that person or the people, they need to hear what God has laid upon your heart. And I'm so grateful for that, that she had to remind me of that. So with that said, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, mighty God. Yes, Lord, this morning we stand in your presence because we are undone. Because we are only human beings, Father, who need you. Like the song said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are always present in our lives, but we just want to say we are thankful, Holy Spirit. We are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your power, God. We are thankful for the Son, Jesus Christ, who is a mediator this morning, Father. Because without Jesus Christ, Father, we can't reach you. We can't go to you, Father, to the holiest of holiness, Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are in this place, that you will give us revelation of your word, Father. And what you have laid upon my heart this morning. Lord, remove anything of self, Father God, within my heart. And I pray, Father, that you will have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Are you excited? Yes. Are you ready for the word of God? Tell the person next to you, I'm ready. I'm ready. I am so ready. I don't know if I'm ready, but here I am. Here I am. Okay, so I so much just want to have some water because I love water. If you know me, I love it. Sorry, Pastor Fadzi, I know it's going to be a struggle for me. So, it's fine. You can. Thank you. It's beautiful flowers, Samantha. It just catches my eye. So thank you for your smiles today. If you haven't smiled to me before, I know today. I'm going to get those smiles, and I know if you normally smile to me, it's going to be extra today. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to start off just to say that I just want to share a brief, interesting thing about what is my favorite memory as for my in my childhood memory. So that was when I lived in a small town in Western Cape, and it's about 400, 500 kilometers away from Cape Town. So it was quite safe. It was a fun place. And we would normally play outside with our friends coming home from school. I don't know if that's your memory as well. And it was fun times. It was easy times. You know, we didn't have the weight that our children are carrying today. So we would go outside after school. We didn't have the homework. And we would play with our friends. And that was beautiful moments. That was, I mean, we played all sorts of games. We even invented games, right? I mean, we invented games. Last night, Gerard and Roger spoke about, again, like, or was it me and Cheryl? We spoke about, we were just carefree. So what normally happens is also we didn't have cell phones, as you know. We didn't have wristwatches. If you did have a wristwatch, you were considered as privileged or wealthy. So we never knew what time to go back inside the house, right? So what was your cue? For us, our cue was the street lights that came on, right? Because we didn't have time. And maybe we were just, you know, we were just enjoying it so much that there was our excuse. Oh, we don't know when to go back inside. But as soon as the lights went on, we knew it's time. And then there was this distinctive voice of our mothers, yeah, or our fathers calling us. And they would normally, the moment you hear their voice, it's like, yeah, that's me, I have to go. So just for interest's sake, I was the sweet one. I was the obedient one. I responded immediately, you know, as I was called. I wasn't one of those that kept on playing. And, so I was also a bit afraid of discipline, especially coming from my dad. I just felt like, no, I don't want that upon me, so let me go. So I hope I gave you some, you know, memory there of your childhood days as well. So maybe you're wondering, why is she sharing this story? Let's just have a quick look at the word calling. As I was explaining, our mother's calling us, and it was that distinct voice. So a calling is a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction. All right. So what was the conviction? I was afraid of discipline. And they said towards a specific, a particular course of action. So I knew that I had to take action and run as fast as I could because I was afraid of discipline. And the moment when I heard my mom's voice, it was this inner impulse. That's my mom. I have to go, right? So with that said, and without further ado, the title of today's message is A Holy Calling. Say to the person next to you, a holy calling. Amen. Now, the word holy or the idea of holiness might not be very familiar, you know, in this day and age we live in. Especially, or even we in the body of Christ, we don't hear it that much anymore. We are not being made aware enough of God's holiness. You know, the moment we sing about God's holiness, the moment we speak of God's holiness, He already resides there. I think we could, to this morning, it was a perfect example of what the Lord does the moment we lean into His holiness. And so, holy in its most focused usage is a word or an adjective uniquely associated with God, such as in the Bible verse we find in Isaiah 6, verse 3, where it reads, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God alone is supremely and exclusively God. Do you agree with me? He is exclusively God. He has no rivals. He is uniquely excellent in His own way. He is in His own category. Yeah, there's no one like God. There's no one that we can place beside God except for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in His own merits carries holiness. Holiness is embedded in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 2 verse 2 says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is one, no one beside you." And before I continue, I think I've left something. I just wanted to say, Pastor Michael, thank you for this opportunity. And Pastor Fadzi, you know, I honor you. I honor you as leaders in this house. So what is holiness? What is holiness? Have you ever thought about that? What is holiness? Holiness is commonly defined as being separate or set apart. Holiness, according to this definition, is separateness that entails moral purity. And while God is holy, there is also a sense in which others, or in which we as a body of Christ, are called to holiness. So why is it important for us to be aware or to pay attention to the holy calling of the Lord? Why is it so important? Well, first of all, it is a command. It is a command from God. So if you are born again, if you call yourself a child of the Most High Living God, we obey God's commands, right? So that's one of the things that we can't just exclude from our living and our faith walk. It's a command. And we read it in 1 Peter 1, verse 16. "So just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Not just in one aspect of your life, in all you do. "For it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Okay? So you as a parent, you know for a fact, you want your child to be like you, right? You will always say, especially when they go visit somewhere, "Behave, remember, this is how we do it, and this is what you shouldn't do." So you want your child to be like you. God is our Heavenly Father, and He say, "Be holy, like I am holy." Amen? Secondly, 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Yes, so that is why holiness is important, because God says we are His special people. Yeah. We are called, we are chosen. And thirdly, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says, He has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Right? Do I still have the smiles going? Thank you. Hallelujah. So here we see that we were first saved, and then God called us to a holy calling. To a holy calling. Amen. The interesting fact that I want to bring across or share with you is the phrase holy calling is only found once in the Bible. Where holiness, the word holiness is written all over the pages of the Bible, holy calling is only found once, and that is in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. And I want us to pause at this scripture for a while. If you have your Bible, you can even open 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Because as I preach, you can also just focus on the scripture. Amen. We see here that God first saved us, meaning you said yes to God the first time you heard His voice. He called you in to His kingdom. You stepped over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you said yes, and God saved you. Salvation was already there, but now you just accepted Christ in your life. Amen? And then we see that after that, obviously now you're in a relationship with Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean that it ends there. It does not end there. So many of us are not taught that after salvation, which road to walk, which path to take, okay? Many of us, you know, people get saved on the streets, people get saved wherever, even over YouTube. Yes, hallelujah, we accept the Lord just there because some people believe we don't have to go to church. So we accept. Who is walking out with you, your faith journey? How will you know what holiness is? Where, in fact, God wants the child of God, you know, holiness should be embedded in us as well. So the difference between salvation and holiness is the following. Salvation is an event that occurs once in the life of the believer. It occurs once, where holiness is a process. Hallelujah. Holiness is a process through sanctification and purification. We cannot get to holiness if we don't go through that process. Not once. It's a daily process. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So it occurs gradually, and some of us are not always on the same path. We all come from different backgrounds. We all face different hurts and pains and heartaches in life. So when we come into the kingdom of God, we're all in different spaces. Yes, okay? We don't know what happened to you that you still have to deal with, but not you. It is you bringing it to Jesus Christ, because this scripture say it is through Jesus Christ. It is through His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's another interesting story. The day I received the Lord as Savior in my life was at the age of 21. I don't know if you can remember your days clear, but for me, it's a beautiful story. It still is every day when I think about it. And at that time, I just completed my studies in Cape Town. And I remember so vividly how I struggled with life, how I struggled to get, I was looking for answers in all the wrong places. You know, I was looking for direction in life, and I didn't know that God can give me that. I did not know that. So one night, while me and my friend was getting ready to go out for the night, we bumped into an old school friend from school, you know, from our hometown. And he was going on to youth, and he said, why don't you come with? I said, no, I don't think so. We've got plans. Our plans was, you know, something else, not church. And we said, no, we're going to decline this time. But every time he would ask us, and I think by the third time, we told each other, okay, let's just give it a try. Let's just, maybe we'll then back off. So we went, and I think you won't believe it, but on the second or third visit to the church, I had that distinct, you know, I heard that call, that voice of the Lord, praise the Lord. And he said, Marsha, come into the kingdom of God. And all I had to do was to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And I remember, with great urgency, saying yes. And my hand went up when the pastor said, is there anyone in this place who would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? I said, yes, Lord, it's me. And that day I will never forget. It is the most important decision that a human being can ever make in their lives. Do you agree? Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for your salvation as well. Hallelujah. So from the moment that I gave my life to the Lord, I knew that my life will never be the same again, okay? That is also the church where I met my handsome husband, of course. Hallelujah. And such a beautiful relationship started. You know, we were only friends at that time, but he was the one that took me by my hand. He said, you know, he was that person. This is what it should look like for a believer, you know. This is what you shouldn't do this. Because, you know, when you come from the world, you're raw. And sometimes you still continue doing things because you think it's fine. Yeah? And then you still have to learn about the voice of the Holy Spirit and what does his word really say about this and what, and then conviction comes in, you know. And God purifies, sanctifies us. Hallelujah. But I'm so grateful for my husband. He's always been that support behind me, always believed in me. Then I say, no, I can do that. And he said, yes, of course you can. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for that. Hallelujah. And I remember the first time we had our a youth service. So Roger, you still had the youth that time in Belha or wherever you were. And so they did a combination of a youth service. And we were all, we need to do something, you know, something. Just like a talent evening. And Gerard asked me, so what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I don't know what's my gift. Do I have a gift? What must I do? By that time, I was already part of the worship ministry. So it was transparent. This wasn't the fancy projector. So, and I was singing here and there, but I didn't think I was a singer. So I said, I'm not going to sing. So let me try and dance. But I've never danced before. And me and two other girls got together and we tried something there and said, okay, now it's fine. But you know, you're still so innocent and you just want to do something for the Lord. Yeah, but that's also when the Lord uses you. Because you say, Lord, here I am. I'm surrendering this gift or what it is, Lord. I still need to learn about this. But that is just something that I wanted to share with you. And so, like I said, the day when we receive Christ in our life is also the day when we become so aware of his great holiness. Hallelujah. This infinite God. And the more time we spend in his presence, the more of him is inside of us. Hallelujah. So someone described this once as, you know, this thing that I just described, getting closer to God. When we look at the sun, you know, and what the sun provides to us, it provides light and life. And can you imagine life without the sun? We won't be able to live. But the more closer we move to the sun, you know, I'm not so clued up with the solar system and all of that. But I think the more closer we move to the sun, the more radiant it becomes, and the more real it becomes. And that's the same thing with God. The closer we move to his presence and into his presence, he becomes real. Yes. You feel this Holy Ghost fire. You feel his presence. The longer you stay away from him, what are you going to feel? No, you're going to become so aware of the world. You're going to become so aware of your problems, so aware of your past, so aware of this thing that you're struggling with. But Lord, you said you're going to help me. You said, I'm sanctified and I'm purified in your presence. But do you even spend time in God's presence? How will he purify and sanctify you in the process of holiness if you're not there? If you don't allow his intensity to radiate on your life. Hallelujah. So resuming with my story as a young believer at that time, I was radical for Christ, believe me. I think Gerard will attest to that. Sometimes I think he was like doing this because I didn't care who you was. If I feel like you need prayer, I'm going to do it for you outside in the streets or wherever. I looked for opportunities to talk about God. I was like, oh, I just need someone to know and to experience and feel what I'm feeling. This thing is new and I just want to, oh, there's so much that I want to share. So that was me. And I believe me, the enemy wasn't happy. He was not happy with what the decision that I made. He was not happy with me pursuing God and God's holiness. Amen. So whenever you as a young believer and you're still in the phase of your salvation, you know, God, the enemy will never be happy. So he will try and bring those old patterns, those old things. And sometimes we wonder why we're stuck. Why are we stuck in the old things? But you don't realize that you need to move closer to God. And you need to say, Lord, separate me. Remember, that's what holiness means. Lord, separate me. Set me apart. Set me apart. And as a believer, we might sometimes feel that oh, this is too much for me. Why, you know, what will people think of me? They will think I'm too holier thou art, or what do they call it? But no, it's all about God. And you know, I became so aware of who God is and what he has done in my life. Transformation took place because I asked the Lord to renew my mind through his word. I spent time with his word, even though I didn't understand everything. I was like, Lord, give me more, show me, reveal what this means to me. And I asked a lot of questions. I think sometimes Hera didn't know how to, like, then he also go and, you know, find out. But I asked a lot of questions. And it didn't just stay at salvation, like I said, but I knew there was purpose. And I knew God has called me and that I needed to offer my life unto him as a living sacrifice. Amen. And there's certain things that I had to give up. You know, when we're in the world, certain patterns that we follow, certain beliefs. But now I'm with God and I just become aware of his presence. And now I'm with the old friends and I'm like, I don't like this talk. I don't like what they're doing. And sometimes I would, you know, be in their presence and they want to go places. And I'm like, no, but I don't feel comfortable there anymore. So God wants you to become uncomfortable with the wrong. Amen. If you're not uncomfortable, then you're in danger, basically. You must become uncomfortable. We will never be perfect. We will never be exactly where we need to be. Like I said, we all come from different backgrounds. So sometimes we struggle longer in one certain area than the other person. But as we move closer to God in his holiness, we become aware of this intensity of the God that we serve, and we become uncomfortable. Hallelujah. For example, there were certain friends that I needed to say goodbye for now. We'll see each other later when I'm strong enough, when I'm stronger to minister to you again from that point. But for now, thank you, Lord. And you know what? The Lord placed me in a healthy Christian environment. I wasn't lonely. No. I had fun in the Lord. I will never forget that. And for example, one other thing is that instead of dancing in the world now or dancing to worldly music, I now dance for the Lord. He anointed me to dance in his kingdom and for his glory. Amen. So when we step into holiness, there's certain things that we need to say, yeah, I'm cutting and I'm stepping away. I'm being set apart. I'm being separated. And I'm moving further and further to the glory and the presence of the Lord Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you today that there's absolutely nothing that the Lord can do for you without you asking and have a desire for it. God is a respecter of a person. He will never just come and, phew, now I'm doing something, Lizzie, I'm rearranging this, and because you can't take charge with it. No, Lizzie must have a desire for a new thing. Lizzie must have a desire to say, Lord, I remove this, Lord. I know there's something bigger. I know there's something, there's more that you have in store for me. Therefore, I invite you. I want you to do a work in my life. You can't do anything with us praying for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives or for having faith for what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And so his word says that we are his workmanship. Yes. Have you ever been to a workshop where mechanics are working on cars and stuff? Yeah, it's not always beautiful. It's not beautiful. It's oily, it's greasy, parts are everywhere. So I always, you know, I have this picture of, that's us in, yeah, we's workmanship. And he's busy putting parts, doing that. Yeah, as we allow him to, he's doing the work. He's doing the work. And so others might not always see what God is doing. But as we step out in purpose and the calling that God has placed upon our lives, this is the grace of God that he's placing over us. We are his workmanship. And I believe that God is faithful to complete the work that he has started in your life. Maybe you were once at a place where you felt like, wow, Holy Ghost, Spirit, Holy. Day and night you were just in his presence. You were just, hallelujah, Holy God. But now you're at a place where you feel dry. Lord, where are you? Why don't I hear your voice? I want more, but where are you? Maybe you're in that season. But today I want to tell you that God is faithful. He is faithful to complete the work that he has started in you. Amen. He won't abandon you. He will never abandon you. Hallelujah. So what exactly is our holy calling? You're thinking, Marsha, you're talking about this now, but I really need to know. But let's take a closer look at the word holy. And I like to study the Greek or the Hebrew words of the, you know, of in the meaning. So in Greek, the word holy is hagio. Say hagio. Speak Greek to your neighbor. Hagio. So this is a combining form of holy and sacred. Okay? God is sacred. And he's producing that sacredness in our lives the more we spend in his presence. And the Hebrew word for holy is kodesh. Say to your neighbor, kodesh. Kodesh. Which lead us to one of the names of God. Do you know what that is? It is the Lord who sanctifies you, Jehovah Mkadesh. Jehovah Mkadesh. That is the Lord who sanctifies you. We cannot sanctify ourselves. There's no person that can go from holiness, I want to live a holy life, and I want to, you know, there's a lot of religions out there, you know, who follows holiness. They follow the commands of the Lord, but with the salvation. So you first need to accept Christ in your life, because we cannot go to God without Christ. That is our way. Salvation is our way to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still here with me? Amen. Hallelujah. So when we go back to the second half of that scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, and I already touched on it, we learn that this holy calling was given to us through Christ Jesus, not through our own works, but according to his purpose in grace. God has purpose for each and every one of us in this place. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price for us to live a holy, consecrated, devoted life unto him. Do you know what it looks like to be devoted? You've ever been devoted to someone in your life, you know, a partner, or devoted to your work, devoted to what else? Your studies. Devoted to your children because you are a father or mother. Yes. But God says, devoted to me, first of all, devoted to me. So if you remember nothing else that I'm saying to you today, I want you to remember this. And that is that the mark or the DNA of God in the life of the believer is holiness. That is the mark and the DNA by which we are known as believers, the brethren, the saints. Hallelujah. Because God is holy. That is his nature. I want you to become so aware of God's nature in your life. Hallelujah. Holiness You know what gives a Christian, gives a Christian an advantage over a lukewarm or an ordinary Christian? We get many Christians out there. We even get people who say they're Christians, but then they're not, you know? So where are you today? I want to ask you that question. Do you serve a holy God or are you serving people? Do you please people or are you pleasing God? Amen. I think the dictionary said the opposite of holiness, of holy, is common. And that's just a word that I don't like anyway. You're so common. No, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be known as God's holy people. Hallelujah. And why is this? Because we read in the second half of Hebrews 12 verse 4. If you want to turn there, Hebrews 12 verse 4. It says, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, am I going to see you? I don't want to wait for heaven and then just, you know, on that day, no, sorry, you can't see the Lord. Lord Jesus, please help us. That first half of that scripture, it says, just to throw it in there, it says that pursue peace with all men. It goes hand in hand, right? It is so important. We can't be every day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, but then I didn't make it right with my brother. Then I carry my brother in my heart because of what he has done. Okay? Yes, at first you might feel like that, but for how long? Ask the Lord, Lord, take this heaviness out of me. I want to live in peace with my sister. I want to live in peace with my brother because I know I can't come to you. I won't be able to see you when that is not fixed. And yes, there's going to be times when my sister don't want to make up with me. Every time I come to her, in humility, you know, like, then it's still the same response I get. But that is not up to you. Then the Lord is going to work in that person's heart. That's all you can do. And you continue to pray. As long as this is right. We never know when God is coming, guys. We never know. Are we going to be ready? God's holiness in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 5 verse 8. We also read something very familiar. Similar. Sorry, guys. Typing error, yeah? And it's actually the first thing we learn from the Beatitudes. Because Jesus is concerned. Jesus is concerned about our heart. And it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. They shall see the Lord. It's a definite. Amen? So you might be saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm a part of this word. Maybe, no, I don't think, you know, this word that Marsha is bringing today, I think I'm just too old for this. I'm already set in my ways as a believer, or maybe I'm too young. The young ones are not here today, but maybe I'm too young. You know, maybe it's only for a select few in the church, you might be saying. Maybe it's only for the pastor and his wife and the bishops and the prophets. I don't think holiness is exactly for me. I'm just an ordinary Christian. And maybe it's for the singers or the musicians. Why must I, you know, be so holy? I'm just sitting in the pews. And that might be your argument today. That might be your argument today. But I want to tell you that there's one thing that I will agree when it comes to that point. And that is, yes, we must look up to our leaders to be holy. They are living and they need to walk the walk and talk the talk. And they need to be the example because there's a reason why God has ordained them. Right? It didn't come cheap. It came with a price. And they are going to give an account to God one day, even more than what we are going to give an account for. They are going to be the ones that will stand in front. And the Lord will ask them, well, why did you still continue doing that while your flock saw you doing that and this? And the Lord will ask them, so why didn't you, you know, Because God works from the top down. God can't do a greater work in you if there's no great work that is happening in the leaders' lives. Amen. So with that one, I will agree. But here we go again. That when we look at Jeremiah 1 verse 5, and Pastor Michael also touched on this a week ago, it says, before I formed you in the womb, right? I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Yes, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And now you might be saying, but Marsha, I don't think I'm a prophet. I don't think the Lord has called me to be a prophet. No, maybe not, but he has called you to something. Hallelujah. Even when you're just a mother at home, you are called to do that, and you need to walk in that, you know, that calling. It's a holy calling. What are you demonstrating to your children? What are you demonstrating to your unsaved family? What are you demonstrating when you're at work? When you're out in the shop? What are we demonstrating? There's a holy calling, and the Lord says that he has called you. Even before you were born, he knitted you, you know. And God is just so faithful. He said he even sanctified you. Amen. He even sanctified you. So we have no excuse. We have absolutely no excuse to say, please exclude me from this. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you, Father. God is sovereign over how he created us. He is sovereign over how he wired us. Yes, he knows what triggers us. He knows, you know, all about us. What other people doesn't even know about, God knows about it. What you don't even know about yourself, God knows about it. Amen. And he's sovereign over our personalities, over our gifts, over all of that. And when you have a gift and you serve in the house of God, I want to urge you, pursue holiness. Pursue peace with men. Pursue God. We can't just come here and now I'm going to serve God. No, have you spent time in God? What did you do during the week? What places did you go? What did you listen to? What did you watch? Amen. And so God is sovereign over all of those things. We need to become aware of the portals that we open for the enemy. Because those things bring filthiness, if I can just say it like that. It brings filthiness in our spirit, man. Amen? And then we think, it's just for now. It's just, you know, it's Saturday. I just want to watch this movie. I just want to listen to this music while I go to work or where I travel. No. Those are portals that you open to the enemy. And what does the enemy do? And then you wonder why I can't get closer to God in his presence? No, because you opened that portal. You decided to listen to those music. You decided to watch that movie. You decided to set foot in that place. While God said, no, you are set apart. Amen. Remember I said it is very difficult. It's a narrow road. It's a narrow road. Father God, we want to see you. Hallelujah. And when we read Exodus 33 verse 18, when Moses asked the Lord, Father, please show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord replied in Exodus 34 verse 2. He didn't just say, yes, come, I'm going to show you, Moses. Here I am. No, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. God says, so be ready and come up on the Mount of Sinai in the morning, you know, when it's still early, and present yourself to me. Present yourself to me there on the top. Hallelujah. Amen. So when I read this, I immediately thought, I think it was about 4 hours for Moses to get to Mount Sinai. I'm not exactly sure, but it was quite a walk up there. And for me, going from my bedroom to my living room to pray and to meet with the Lord, it's sometimes a bit of a, it's not, but the enemy is telling us, man, you can still stay put in your bed. You can still be, you can lay and then you lay and fall asleep again. Lay and pray and fall asleep. Amen. I'm talking about myself as well, people. So sometimes we can't laugh at ourselves, but question is, do we progress in that? You know, the Lord is saying to Moses, come up to me. And that is what Moses did. Not only once, but on several accounts, several occasions he went and he met with the Lord and he became so close to God and God revealed his face unto him. He said, Moses, you might not be able, you know, the radiance, so cover your face. Hallelujah. How I long to see the Lord's face. And when I read this word present in the scripture, where God says, Moses, present yourself, I got reminded of the same word present in Romans 12 verse 1. Mm-hmm. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, Romans 12 verse 1. Hallelujah. Are you still enjoying God's word?
Amen.
Amen. And Paul wrote, the apostle Paul wrote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is your reasonable worship. It's the same scripture Pastor gave last week. So I looked at this word present, and I took a really close look. I said, Lord, please just reveal to me, because how must I come? Like, must I dress up? How do I present myself? Must I take my shoes off? Must I? I'm just giving you a vision there, because I don't know how you think about it. When you meditate on this word and you say present yourself, I don't know. What do you think? What did you do? Like every time you think, Lord, I'm now presenting. Do you kneel? Do you crawl? What did you? So in the Greek language, the word present is parastimi, which is a compound of the words para and istimi. And the prefix para means alongside. And the word istimi means place, to place. And when you put these two words together, they are being compounded together, and the new word, to place beside, comes forth from that. To place beside. That is what the word present means. So while I continued to seek revelation from the Lord, I said, Lord, please show me more. And I began to see the heart, my heart, or the human heart. And I saw the human heart being placed beside the Lord's heart. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, is that how you want me to present myself? There's nothing too complicated about that, do you agree? It is when I come into his presence, and I said, Lord, here's my heart. I place it beside your heart. And what needs to happen then? It is the thing of what is in his heart will then be transferred into your heart. In that moment, the Lord shows us what is inside of our heart that shouldn't be. And he's saying, let's do an exchange. Give that. Give that. And I'm giving over to you what is inside of mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, as we present ourselves before you. Hallelujah. And you know, as I continue to meditate on this word, I said, yes, Lord, I want to place beside you, because that's the word, right? And it also speaks of positioning. Place beside. Lord, I'm positioning myself in you. How are you positioning yourself when you come into the presence of God? Where do you place your heart? Are you just worshiping him from a distance? You know, my heart is there and my worship is here. God says, bring your heart, position it next to mine. Amen. And the Lord reminded me once again of Abram, who had to bring his son as a sacrifice. He brought his son as an offering. And Abram had to build an altar for God, right? And lay down his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And this sacrifice that Abram brought before the Lord showed me, is symbolic to our hearts that we ever so often have to present unto God. Imagine the fear that Abram went through because he had to give his son up for a sacrifice. But he didn't know God already made provision. But God was testing his heart. He had to go through that process, that purification, that set apart. Lord, if I lose my son because you want it, then it's fine. You know, he had to go through that. But I can imagine the fear. And imagine the fear that we sometimes have to go through and say, Lord, I don't think I'm ready yet to give you this part of my heart. I still want to be in control. I still want to be in control of this. You know, this is from my past. I know how to handle it. It's fine. I've been, it has come with me for a while now, so I'm good. No, Lord said, set it apart from your heart. Place it beside my heart, and I'm doing a new work in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Those things that became such a norm in our lives, in our identities. Yes, we even think, no, this is me. No one is going to change me. No, I always look like this when I come into church. I don't have to greet people or, yeah, I don't, yeah, this is me. They must just accept me for who I am. Hello, we serve a holy God. He says, present your heart. Present your heart or you will not see me. Holiness, Father God. And so, while the word says that the heart is deceiving above all things, we also read how David prayed unto God, search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. Can that still be our prayer daily? Father, search my heart. You know, this week has been hard. I've said a few things that I shouldn't have said. I've made choices that maybe, you know, it has quenched the Spirit of the Lord. But here I am again presenting my heart. Lord, search it. Search it so you can show me what doesn't belong. Hallelujah. And create in me a clean and a steadfast heart. We need to become steadfast in the Lord. Not when the storms and tribulations come and then, oh, now we're so far from the Lord. Yes, we are going to experience the heartache and the pain and the uncertainty of life. But in that situation, in the center, still allow God to speak to you and to be there. You know, place your heart beside him. And this is our daily practice as a believer. I'm almost there. Hang on. How do we attain this? Well, it isn't as complicated as we said. We present our hearts unto him. We come with it every day before the Lord. No hidden agendas. Getting closer to him. Abiding in him. You know, John says, abide in me and I will abide in you. For I am the true vine. And you are the branches. Abide in me, and I will not let go of you. The day we received the Lord, and this came to a shock to me. The day I received the Lord, I thought I gave everything to the Lord, but I didn't. Like I said, salvation happens instantly, but the holiness and purification, it's a process. So allow yourself to go through that process. It is so pivotal for a Christian to separate him or herself from this world, from worldly patterns, from worldly beliefs. You know, we live in this world, so we are going to be affected. We are going to be affected about what social media say or what the world says or what our friends say about us because they see us. And then now they're saying things about us, which we thought, no, it's not me. I don't think it's me. But now it becomes a part of us because bring it to the Lord. Bring it to God and find out what the Lord is saying about you. Holiness is cultivated in the secret place and works its way outwardly. All right? So we can't say, oh, I see that person is so holy. Holiness is cultivated in the secret place of the Lord, Abba Father. Holiness means placing every detail of your life under the scrutiny of God himself. You no longer have a desire to please man, but to please God. James 1 verse 21 says, so get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your heart, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourself by just listening to the word. Put it into practice. So the call to action today, as I draw this message to a close, is the following. Those spaces in your heart that you and in your mind that you never gave God access to, That is the call to action. Give God access to those spaces. Allow God entrance. Now is the time. Now is the time to allow him that entrance in order for you to know his heart and for you to show your heart unto yourself. God is so gentle. He knows about boundaries. Like I said before, he will not come to Chennai and say, move, I want to do a work. No, God respects. He knows about boundaries. And all he does is waiting on you. Because he is just so patient. He's so patient and gentle. He's our creator. He will never exceed where we don't allow him to. Never. Instead, he waits. And the most appropriate posture for a child to take in is that of obedience, yielding, surrender, humility. Amen. So when my mom called me home, the distinctive voice, I reacted, I response, I healed it. Because I know when I go back inside, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I surrender to their authority and their command. Amen. That is the heart attitude of a child. Are you still a child of God? Are you still submitting yourself under this great God in order to go through the process? What is your heart posture before the Lord? Are we still yielding? Are we still surrendering? Hallelujah. I want to end this off with this. There's a saying that we loved. Herod actually taught me this. That the attitude of your heart determines the quality of your worship. What is your worship before God? Have you asked God just to show you your heart lately so that holiness can be produced in your life? Your attitude as a child before God will determine the worship that you give unto him.